Becky team. Thank you for coming out this morning. I mean, you braved this. How many of you actually got to bed before midnight last night? Bless you. I'm one of those, okay? You know what? You remember the Y2K? Anybody around during the Y2K times? Right? Right? You remember? The big, everything's going to fall apart at that time. How many of you actually stayed up to watch the Y2K? Some of you, how many actually slept through it? Yeah, that'd be me as well. Yeah, right, right. We get hyped over all sorts of stuff. But you know, it's good that you're here, 2017. Here we go. So I, you know what I was thinking of this morning? We have the kids in here, so you're going to have to work with me a little bit because I decided to do some stuff to engage the kids as well. Are you okay with that? Okay, that's cool. That's cool. So, but what I wanted to do to start off with is first of all, there's a lot of holes. We got to pray that these all get filled up this year, okay? But what I'm going to ask you to do is I want you to look around you, and if there's nobody sitting beside you, I see there's a few very, very empty spaces. Go sit beside someone right now, because what I want you to do is I want you to tell that person that you're sitting beside something that you want to do, something that you want to accomplish, something that you want to be involved in this year, right? That maybe you haven't done before or you want to do more of this year. So you got to do that now. So find somebody and tell them that. I'm going to give you about a minute or so to do that, okay? Don't be sitting alone. Don't be sitting alone. Something you want to do, accomplish, be involved in this year more than you did last year, or maybe that you've never done before. Oh, look at it. We even got the time clock. That's awesome. I'm not giving you 3 minutes, by the way. I'll give you another minute. That's it? You're ready? You're finished? I see people are stopping talking. You got it all figured out? Okay, you can stop the clock. You can stop the clock. Thanks so much, Brian. You're awesome. So now here's the scoop. Here's the scoop. Hold each other accountable for that. Hopefully it was something good. Right? Like, not something like, I'm going to eat more pizza this year or whatever. Like, hopefully it was something positive. And do hold each other accountable. You know what I love about New Year's? It's like the beginning of a new journey, isn't it? It's like we're starting fresh. And I kind of like the idea of starting fresh. I wish sometimes that we could start fresh in different ways. Can you imagine for a minute that every new year, we could completely wipe out, all our mortgages. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, that would be a good thing. Or we could start fresh in our bank accounts. Now, for some of you, that might not be a good thing because it means you start from zero and you maybe have more than zero. For some of us, that would be a really good thing, right? But wouldn't it be great if we could start fresh every year in a new way? You know, in some ways, we can start fresh. And I want us to look into starting this new journey. And we're going to start a series called Joy in the Journey. And we're going to look at this incredible book of Philippians. And what I want to do with you this morning is just do an introduction to this book. And you know what? As we go through this, I think there's a lot of stuff that we can take into our lives when we look into a new year as well. What can we incorporate in our lives to bring joy into this journey of 2017? I want joy in 2017. Anybody with me? Come on, you want joy in 2017. You want to feel the presence of God in 2017. I really do. And I want us to experience God's presence. So Lord, as we start this series, and as we start this year, I pray that you would help us to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. Help us to know that which you want from us. Help us to experience the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit every day in our lives. And God, as we look through this book of Philippians, I pray in Jesus' name that you would open us up. Open up our hearts and our minds to possibilities Father, open up our hearts and our minds to new opportunities. Open up our hearts and our minds to you, Lord, and to what we can glean from you through this year, through this book, so that you would be glorified, God, so that we would be more equipped to be stronger, better servants of you, to make a difference in our community. So we commit this all to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So a few things that we want to look at when it comes to having joy in this journey. See, folks, it's got to start with a proper foundation. It's got to start with a proper beginning. See, here's the thing. Everybody's got to have a good place to start. You got to have a good starting point, right? If you're just haphazardly going around, you know, it's not going to get you anywhere fast. We need a foundation. We need a base. And in this book, just to kind of draw us back to Philippians, by the way, if you haven't read the book of Philippians in the last little while, I challenge you this week to go home and to read it. It's not going to take you long. It's just like four chapters. You'll be able to read through it in a half hour, if that. But read through it and find out what God has to say to you through it. So in the text, the foundation, the reason that we have this text is the main purpose is Paul is talking about how we can experience God's joy in our life. Now, I think that's a good thing, right? And he said it comes when we have Christ in our life, Christ in our mind, Christ as our goal, Christ as our strength, Christ in all of our difficult times. The times that he wrote this, or the time that he was going through during the writing of the book of Philippians, was a very interesting time. See, here's a guy by the name of Paul. And Paul was a tradesman. Paul was unlike some of the tradesmen today that build houses. He sewed together tents made out of goat's hair. Okay, that was his profession. He made tents. Great profession, right? But he didn't get stuck with doing this stuff. He would go out and he would tell people about Jesus, which was even much better. And as he was out there, people didn't like it. And they took him and they threw him into prison. So he's sitting in a Roman prison at this time, when he's writing this book to the Philippians. And as he's sitting there in this Roman prison, he's thinking, man, I'm not going to waste my time sitting here. I'm going to write a letter to the different churches to encourage them. And so he, in that time, he wrote this letter to the people in Philippi. Now, I want you to understand where this city is, the city of Philippi. This is not a church that Paul necessarily wanted to spend time in or a place he wanted to go to. Philippi was a place that he visited on a missionary journey. And he was planning to go someplace else, but God says, hey, wait a minute, Paul. I don't want you to go there. I want you to go to this province called Macedonia. And as he went there, he found himself in this place called Philippi. Now, let me ask you something here this morning. What do you do when God tells you to do something that you don't necessarily want to do? Think about it. What do you do when you feel God leading you somewhere or encouraging you to say something or maybe not to say something? How do you respond? Praise God. Thank you, Preza. I hope we all do that. I think that was Preza. I hope we all do that. But, you know, sometimes it's not an easy thing to do, especially if God calls us to go someplace that we don't necessarily want to go. Now, I'm a farm boy. I grew up on the farm. I like the farm. I love the cows. I love the wide open space. I love the grass. I love the trees. I love running across the field and going to the back of the farmyard and finding my favorite fishing spot. This is where I grew up. And I loved living in that place. Anybody here live on a farm before? There's a few of you. Yeah. Yeah. You liked the farm, right? Pastor Les, the farm was good. It was good. And then God spoke to me one day and says, Wes, it's time to move on. And he called me from the wide open space to a tiny little apartment in a place called Richmond. Now, that's not the same as a farm. We're going from 10 acres to like 800 square feet. Maybe it was a little bit more. And I almost went claustrophobic in this little place. But let me tell you something. When God calls you to go someplace, that's the best place to be. You can say amen. When God calls you to go someplace, that is the best place to be. And because in those times, in my times over at Steveston, I developed a relationship with the Lord and my ministry. And God used me in great ways. God called Paul, says, Paul, I don't want you to go to Troas. I want you to go to Macedonia. I want you to go to this place called Philippi. And it wasn't the greatest place to go to. It wasn't like Paul was saying, all right, yeah, Philippi, woo! The greatest place on earth, like Disneyland. It was no Disneyland. Philippi was basically a city that was established by the Romans, the enemies of the church at that time. It was established as a Rome away from Rome. Okay, so what they would do is this. They would take people that were ex-soldiers, and they would say, you need to retire. Go retire in Philippi. It's a great place, and we'll establish a colony there, and it became a stronghold for Rome. This is a place that obviously had emperor worship, a place that was antagonistic, that did not like the people of God, and it was a place that all of a sudden Paul is called to. I don't think I'd want to go there. These guys did not like Christians, and they had weapons of mass destruction, and they used them on the Christians. It wasn't the place he wanted to spend as a vacation. On top of it, he gets to Philippi. Now think about this. Here's Paul, walks into Philippi, and he is doing his ministry there. Acts chapter 16, it says there is a girl in Philippi. No, it wasn't a girlfriend of Paul. It was a young lady who followed Paul around day after day after day after day, saying, these people are servants of the Most High God. It probably was that irritating, okay? If you're sleeping, I woke you up now. And she followed him around day after day after day. She wasn't a publicity stunt. They were mocking, it was a demonic lady, young lady, who was mocking Paul as he was preaching. And finally, Paul got tired. You ever been there? And you say, enough's enough. And you just can't take it anymore. And I can just imagine Paul going, oh, for the love of everything that is sacred and holy, in the name of Jesus, get out of her. And the demon left. Hallelujah. For her, it was a hallelujah. For Paul, it wasn't so much hallelujah. Because here's what happened. The demon left, and you remember what happened to Paul? Because of this situation, he was thrown into prison, beaten and thrown into prison. Paul, why go to Philippi? Why would you go there? All the stuff you're going to experience. But see, here's the thing, folks. When we have Christ as our foundation, he calls us to go someplace, we better be going there. Because if we don't, and if we choose to do our own thing, we're going to miss out of a lot of blessing. We are going to miss out of life in this journey and out of joy in this journey. You remember what happened in Philippi? Paul and Silas were thrown in prison. Anybody remember the story? They're sitting in prison. It's midnight. They're in shackles. They got their feet up in a very uncomfortable position, sitting on concrete floor for who knows how many hours. I don't like sitting on anything but padded pews for an hour or so. You're probably going to get tired after sitting for however long I preach here today. But they were sitting on a concrete floor, feet up in the air. And what were they doing? Praising God and singing unto him. Now, how many of us would be doing that in the floor of a prison with our feet up in shackles on a concrete floor with a very sore derriere praising God? But they were, and you remember what happened? What happened? The angel came and the doors flung open and the jailer came to know the Lord. So why do I tell you all this? Here's the application for us. See, folks, the thing is, when we have Christ in our life as our foundation in this journey, then you can expect incredible things from God. But you got to be building your life upon that proper foundation. You remember, now here we go. You remember the story from Jesus' time and where he talked about having a foundation. What do we build our foundation upon? Do we build it upon the sand, or do we build it upon the stone, the rock, being Christ? I'm hoping that we built it upon the rock. I hope we have the right foundation. Now, I didn't build these houses. This was my daughter, who is not to be seen right now. But anyway, so if what happened is oh, there she is. Hi, Trina. Sorry, I didn't really see you there. Sorry about that. See, so here's the thing. What's going to happen inevitably in our life is that, now I'm hoping this works. If this doesn't work, just go ooh anyways, okay? But I'm hoping this works. But if we build our no, regardless where we stand, our lives, we're going to face some hardships, folks. And we're going to face some hard times, and storms are going to come our way. And when they come, it's going to cause problems. And then here's the thing, regardless if we have a relationship with Christ or not, we're going to face these hard times. But if we're in a place where we have our lives built upon the rock of Christ, and those storms come, and they start ripping us apart, we will stand strong. Well, this house was supposed to fall down. There it did. Just a little bit of a help there. Sorry about that, Trina. It was a good house. It really was. So what are you building your foundation on, folks? What are you building your life on? Are we building it on the things of Christ, or are we building it on ourselves? In order for us to have a good journey, we got to build it upon the things of Christ. There is a function to this journey. There is a purpose to this journey that we're stepping into. You're not here haphazardly. You're not here just because God just wanted to have one more person on this planet. You're here for a purpose and for a reason. The purpose of this book, the purpose of the book of Philippians, is to encourage the church in Philippi. But let me tell you about the times, why this book was written. This book was written because at that time, there was a guy by the name of Epaphroditus. Wouldn't you just love to name your kid Epaphroditus? What would you call him for short? Path? I don't know. There's a guy named Epaphroditus. He was in Philippi. They knew that Paul was in a Roman prison. And they thought, we got to encourage him. And what better way to encourage a person than to buy them a gift? How many of you did get some really good gifts for Christmas? Did some of you get some? Excellent, excellent. You'll let me know what they are. And if you want to share them, then you can do that as well. But he came down to Rome. He came down to Paul, Epaphroditus, with a gift. We don't know what that gift was, maybe financial, whatever it was, but he came down to give him a gift and to encourage him at that time. And can I just say that the function of our journey is not for us to get, but for us to give. Are you with me? It's not for us to get, but for us to give. So I'm going to give this gift away. I'm going to give it to Hannah. There you go, Hannah. And in that gift, there are some cookies. They're homemade cookies. Now, you can eat them all yourself. That's okay if you want to. Or you can share them with people around you. But not right now. Do it a little later on, okay? But that's yours. Enjoy. Enjoy. The purpose of our lives, folks, is to give away what God has given to us. Epaphroditus comes down, and he comes to Paul. He does exactly what God told him to do, and something rather sad happened. See, Epaphroditus became very, very ill. The Bible said that he became so ill that he almost died. And can I just say something? Just because you are doing exactly what God calls you to do doesn't mean that everything is going to go super smooth. You following me? It doesn't mean that everything will go right. There are teachings out there that will say, all you got to do is put in your prayer in heaven and out pops whatever you want because God is a cosmic Santa Claus or a cosmic vending machine. They may not use those words, but there's that impression. It's not like that. Jesus says we will have challenges, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. But Paul got this gift, and he says, I've got to let the church of Philippi know that Epaphroditus is okay. For some reason, Epaphroditus was more concerned about what people were thinking at that time. Maybe they thought, well, we sent Epaphroditus down there. I mean, he was supposed to be a godly man. All of a sudden, he gets sick. And he was more concerned about what people thought than about his own illness. And Paul says, listen, Epaphroditus will be just fine. Folks, the reason I bring up this person, Epaphroditus, is this. Again, in our life, we will face challenges and difficulties. But you know what? I find coal useful, right? Anybody here like to make barbecues and use charcoal for barbecues? It's pretty useful stuff. Problem with coal is it makes your hands black and it burns up and it's gone. You take coal and you put it through enough pressure, what do you get? Diamonds. Ho, 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 ho. And I got a bag of them. Look at this. Check this out. You ready? 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 Oh. And they're all real. Really. Yeah. Worth millions. Yeah. You can have them later on. Cost me $1.25 at the dollar store. God wants you to be a diamond, folks. Why is it that we run every time there could be a possible challenge in our life? Why do we run when we know God is calling us into a place that may not be an easy road? Why is it sometimes we get more consumed with remaining cool than becoming a diamond? I pray this year in our journey that God would make more diamonds, that he would create more diamonds in this church, that he would make you and I stronger, but it ain't going to come easy. It's not going to come easy at all. So what's the application? This journey isn't about your happiness, folks. I'm sorry to tell you this. This journey that we are on, God is not wanting you to have a cushy life. He is not wanting us just to enjoy and kick back and have fun. You know, last night I had an opportunity to be with a couple of people, and I was talking to a young man last night, not a believer. And he said to me something. He says, you know, we've got it so wrong in our Western world where we've become so self-consumed and we think everything's got to cater to me. And we forget how many people today are in incredible suffering, even in our own community. Right now, actually, folks, there's one of our people that is out on the street right now as we are in this service handing out blankets to the homeless because it's going to be a cold week. It's going to be a real cold week. And, you know, we get so focused on, and boy, am I going to step some toes right now. We get so focused on ourself that we have, this is going to get me into trouble, that we have put a wall up with pictures of me. There's me, right there. I'm outside in the snow. There's me. There's a picture of me. I'm over there driving my car. There's me last summer. Oh, there's me over there. I'm just standing on the top of a mountain. There's me. And we've got these pictures of me, and we invite not just our family, but the whole world to see it. You know what I'm talking about? We've got a name for it. Does anybody know what that name is? Yeah, it's called Facebook. And I'm not here to slam Facebook, but what I'm saying is sometimes we become so self-consumed that we forget that God is calling us to become diamonds, to be a blessing to someone else. So how are we doing with that? How are we doing with becoming more and more like Christ instead of hoping Christ really gives more and more to us so that we can enjoy more and more of this life? Can I tell you what God wants for you this year? Can I tell you what God wants for you? You ready for this? Let me give you a scripture of what God's will is for you for 2017. Here it is. If you don't believe me, look it up. It's found in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. It says this: He has shown you what? Read it. He has shown you, or man or woman, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? Can you read it? That's it. That's what God wants from you and I for 2017. Are you following me? God is asking us for something simple: to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. Humbly. If we would just live that one word, folks, if we would exercise that one quality of Jesus, to be humble before God, what a difference it would make in our lives. So we need to keep things in focus. And let me end by saying, folks, we need to keep our eyes off ourselves and onto the finish line, to where God wants us to go from here. Can I just remind you something? Paul was writing, he writes some pretty hard things in the book of Philippians, and we'll go through them. But can I remind you of something? Paul is writing this book to a group of people, and he's writing it from prison. He knew hardship. He knew what it was to go through difficult times. He understood it. And he is saying to people, don't lose sight of the finish line. Don't lose sight in this journey of where God wants to take you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, he says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press on. I press on. Everything else is secondary, but I want to press on to that goal to win the prize that God has for us. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't hear enough about what our ultimate goal is and must be. It must be not just what we can get out of this life, but what God has for us for all eternity. Let me just read a couple things here in closing. Let me read you something that D.L. Moody once wrote, a preacher D.L. Moody, about heaven. He said this: Heaven is a city without pain, a city without sorrow, without sickness, without death. There is no darkness, and the Lamb is its light. It needs no sun. It needs no moon. The paradise of Eden was as nothing comparing with this one. The tempter came into Eden and triumphed. But in that city, nothing that defiles shall ever enter. There will be no tempter there. Think of a place where temptation cannot come. Think of a place where we will be free from sin, where pollution cannot enter, where the righteous shall reign forever. Think of a city that is not built with hands, where the builders do not grow old with time. Think of a city through whose streets run to tide its business. There is no nodding hearses creeping slowly with their burdens to the tomb. A city without grief or graves, without sin or sorrow, without marriages or mourning, without births or burial. A city which glories in having Jesus for its kings, angels for its guards, and those citizens are its saints. Now listen, that's the city that God has for you and I. And I think that should excite us just a little bit. I think that should excite us just a little bit. That's what we are looking towards, folks, in Jesus' name. So we need to look to the right finish line. Look to the right finish line, that place that we can be with Jesus. But in the meantime, and I'm going to end with this. In the meantime, we as believers need to be there to encourage each other in this journey. There is a lady that was driving from Calgary up into the Yukon. And she was driving her little Civic. And she came to a truck stop. And as she came to this truck stop, she sat down, and there were some truckers there, and they started talking to her and asked her a little bit about what she's doing and where she's going. And she says, "I'm heading up to the Yukon." And they looked at her car and they said, "You're heading up to the Yukon in that?" She says, "Oh yeah, yeah." He says, they said to her, "Do you know what the roads are like heading up to the Yukon?" She says, "No, I've never been there." She says, "You know," they said to her, "You know what? We're just going to have to give you a hug." And she's going, whoa, buddies, hold on a minute. I don't even know you. And they says, no, wait a minute. We're going to give you a hug along the way. What we're going to do is we're going to have one of us drive in front and one of us drive behind you because the road is treacherous. And you have to have that support. So they drove through some very treacherous roads. And she said at times all she could see was the back lights of the truck in front of her. And the truck behind her kept its distance but made sure she stayed in the right grooves. And they made sure she got to where she had to go. See, folks, we sometimes as believers, we just need a hug. We just need our people around us to stand with us during this journey that we're finding ourselves into. Because see, here's the thing, you're gonna go through challenges in 2017. As a believer, we all will. But that's why the church is here. We're here so that we can hug each other, encourage each other, tell each other that, hey, don't give up. Don't give up, Hebrews chapter 12. Don't give up. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Realize that we are here for each other. So I encourage you, prepare yourself for a great journey. Prepare yourself for 2012. It's going to be a good road. It's good. Did I say 12? 2017. Are you prepared for 2012? Yeah, okay. It was a good year. 2017. Prepare yourself. It's going to be a good year. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would just encourage each one of us here today. Help us to see the potential of the journey ahead. Lord, help us to be weary of those areas where the enemy wants to trip us up. God, to remain focused on where we need to go, to remain on the right foundation when he tries to get us off of the road that you want us to be on. Please, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help us to keep you at the very center of all we say and do. I pray blessing on your people here today. I pray, God, we would expect great things from you, but we would also be willing to do great things for you in 2017. So, Lord, we commit our lives to you. We commit this year to you. We ask, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we stand?